We're on page 237, 238. We're starting chapter 45 at the bottom of the page, and obviously where it's starting. We have been discussing fear and love, and various levels of fear and love, and how to achieve fear and love. And we will continue talking about fear and love through 47, 48, 46, 47, 48. 45 is a little bit of a, a divergence from the fear and love thing. But the Alter Rebbe is now going to talk about another mode where for fear and love is like, it's scary to people. Mm-hmm. So this chapter 45 is for all the beautiful people. It's making a bit of a pun because he's talking about Teferis and utilizing this other attribute, which is a combination, an amalgam of fear and love, which is put together, which is called in the sphere chart, it's called Teferis, it's called harmony, it's called truth. And so if a person is serving Hashem in this manner, so since it's an amalgam of fear and love, so that's though he's doing fear and love. That's what he's going to be talking about over here. And also there's another straight way for a person to occupy in the Torah in the midst is Lishman. To do it for the right reason, to do it the way that you're supposed to do it, Lashma, as it's called, for the sake of learning, for Hashem's sake. And that's through the attribute of Yaakov, which Yaakov is the attribute of mercy. We talked about that Avraham was described as Isha Chesed, and Yitzchak is Pachad Yitzchak. He's a man of, Avram was a man of kindness, and Yitzchak was an expression of awe. He mentioned back in chapter 32, at the end of 32, he talks about there the idea of having Rachmanis on another person, and says that Yaakov pade es Avraham. Yaakov redeemed Abraham. And the explanation of that is because Avraham had a Yishmael and Yitzhak had an Esau, but Yaakov was mitas Shloima. Yaakov had 12 kids that were righteous. But he explained it there, and he's going to explain it over here as well, that chesed in its own right, or love, an expression of love, can be very dangerous, as we see that the byproduct of Avraham's love was a Yishmael, to the point where Avraham said, "Lu Yishmael yichiel lefanecha." It should only be, or halavai, that Yishmael should be the progenitor of the Jewish people. That's where Avraham's love could have been directed.
Yeah.
So comes along now along at Yaakov. Yaakov is the attribute of Rachmanis, and Rachmanis states, no, Yishmael can't do it. That would be incorrect. Rachmanis is the attribute of truth. It's the attribute of compassion.
Truth and
compassion. Yes, compassion means I'm going to give you what you need rather than what you're asking for.
Right.
That's what compassion is.
Okay.
So therefore, the attribute of Yaakov, if we serve Hashem now, as the attribute of Yaakov, so that's a way of coming to a really an absolute full service. Yaakov, by the way, since we're already in the spirit, Shleishim Yom Kodem HaChag is already before Pesach, Yaakov is referred to as Ish Tam. Tam is translated in many places as a simple person. Now, I wouldn't say that Yaakov Avinu was a simpleton. No, that would be an incorrect statement. Simple means uncomplicated. What you saw with Yaakov Avinu was what you got. The expression is in the Gemara, Teicha Kibara, his insides were like his outsides. In the Seder, so you have the third son, is the Tam.
Yeah.
And he's always portrayed as a person who's not the brightest light bulb on the in the ceiling or the sharpest tack in the box. It doesn't have to be that that's how you translate the word Tom. Because there also the word Tom could mean he's simple. He's always saying, what's going on? And in describing the question of the simple son, that all his question is what is all this? Now, what in according to the Kabbalah refers to the level of Chachma? That's Kayach Ma. Chachma is called Kayach Ma, the power of Ma, the power of what?
Right.
So he is a very simple level. He relates to Hashem at an absolute quintessential level. This is not what you call a simple person.
No.
As far as that goes.
The Thomas can become a Chacham.
They could all become Chachamim.
But these start.
They all could be. You could say, yeah, because you could say, since it's a Ma, is what he's asking, so he doesn't have that far to go before he gets the Chach, to get to the Chachma. Right. So he could become a Chacham. But the Rasha could also be a Chacham. The Yeshen Liyadeh could also become a Chacham. So it's, I don't know who we would say would be closer. They say that according to the Rizal, to put the Rasha there, because the Rasha has the greatest potential to get next to the Chacham, that he could also be a Chacham, because he's got so much potential. But not to take the Tam lightly. The Tam is on a level where he's just relating to Hashem on a very simple, no-nonsense level. So what's all the fuss about? So what do we answer him? Because Hashem did this for our forefathers in taking us out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the chayim. That there would be, that there this is the relationship that we have for Hashem is one which warrants that, knowing that Hashem is on a personal level with each and every one of us. It's not just on a quintessential level that the Almighty is relating to us, but the Almighty relates to us on a very personal level. So in our day-to-day life, and that's what we tell them, listen, Hashem did this for us. Hashem did us, it's like Hashem did us a favor because he likes us. You know, this is what the Almighty says. So what's Yaakov Avinu? Lo'eiru v'machshavtei techila rachamim rabim l'vnei Hashem. The first thing he has to do is to say, listen, Hashem, cut me a break, please. Cut me some slack, please. I really want to serve Hashem properly. It says, I don't remember if I saw this in something written by the Mittler Rebbe, or if I saw it in Kuntres Hatzfilah. You ever learn Kuntres Hatzfilah, Danny?
No.
The tract on prayer? So I don't remember where I saw it. I think it might have been tract on prayer. Sorry. The person's davening, and he really wants to daven, but he is just inundated with thoughts other than the davening. He just cannot focus. Mm. As much as he tries the regrouping, he'll sing some kind of song, he'll try and think, and as soon as he goes back into the davening, it's just whoosh, he is just totally overwhelmed. He just cannot do it.
For the Tintin Alev?
No, this is total Yetzirah going on over here. His Yetzirah is saying, you want to daven? Ha, 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 ha. Look what I'm going to throw into your head. Let's think about this for a while. Let's think about that for a while.
Earlier in the Tanya, says a person can't, when he can't stop the thoughts that distract him, he prays to Hashem to help him.
Right, so this is the thing over here. Correct, it's the same type of thing. This is his whole Avodas Hashem. So he says he doesn't recommend that it's done often. You should only do it as a last resort, because otherwise it's looking like the person's not putting any effort in it. You sit down, it would be, if you sit down, you say, okay, God, I really need to help davening today. You didn't start yet, what's the problem? So the person's really trying, he's trying to put forth the effort, and it's not going, he's just totally completely plagued. So you can say, listen, Hashem, you want me to daven? Give me a hand over here. A very similar way in which we see that with the Akedah, for example. That Avraham was afflicted with all kinds of tests on his way to the Akedah. Mm. One of the tests was a river. Mm. You know the Maisa, yeah? Here he is, he's walking, and the cloud is telling him, go this way. And it just so happens between where he has to go and where he is now is a river. So he says, the cloud is telling me go this way, I'm going to go this way. He didn't start looking left, right, for make a raft, make a bridge. I'm going this way. And he walked into the river. And he kept walking and walking and walking and walking until he got up to his nose. And at that point he said, listen, Hashem, if you want me to go any further, you got to do something with this river. And the river disappeared. So, meaning that the river was never really there. It was just a test from the Yetzirah. That's the way it's described. Hmm. To see which way he would turn. Okay, when he went through, he said, but Hashem, you want me to do this. So if you want me to do this, give me some help over here. I'm really trying, but I can't do it. So he says to have rachmanis in his thought, to arouse in his thought, to beginning a little bit of rachmanis. He says, ask me rachamim rabim before Hashem. Al nitzis el lakusa hamachaya nafsho lakis. To arouse the godliness, on the godly spark, which is enlivening his godly soul. Asher yared mekar achaya chayim insa baruchu. Because where is his soul coming from? This is why you should have Rachmanis on you. It's because where did my soul come from? It started from the very Chalak Elikamim Al Mamish, where it was totally and completely united with Hashem. And then even as later on, as it's manifested the creation process, it's still benefiting from divine revelation and appreciates how Hashem fills the worlds and Hashem is encompassing all the worlds. And before Hashem, all the worlds are considered like nothing. Then the Nefesh HaLakis doesn't have to think about this stuff. It experienced it. It knows it. It sees it. Okay, but what? Now where is it? It's stuck in the mire of this world. Okay, as the Shper Lezeda said, I probably told you this story, the saying of the Shper Lezeda, Rabbeinu Shalom, what do you want from us? If it would be, what do you have from us? You make demands from us that you put the Torah in a book, you put the Yetzirah in our hearts, yeah. And you tell us to follow what it says in the book.
Right.
If you would have put the Yetzirah in the book and we would read occasionally about what the Yetzirah wants, but we had the Torah in our hearts, yeah. It would be so much easier. It's your own fault, God. Bad design. Okay? So have Rachmanis on us. And there it is, what happens. V'nislavshu v'meshachet d'chavya harachak ma'or p'nei ha'melech v'tachlis harichuk. And it's enclosed, and he likes to use this expression, it's taken from the Zohar, the snake skin, which is very, very far from the face of the king. What's a snake skin? If you go out, serpent. I think serpent, for some reason, I'm thinking of Cecil, the C6, sea serpent. That's what I think, serpent. So I don't use the word snake. Anyway, so what happens to a snake when it gets too big for its skin? It crawls out of it.
It molts.
It crawls right out of it, and you see these things lying on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what our body is. It's the same exact thing. Yes, it's the same thing.
I think it's talking about the serpent.
No. It doesn't have to necessarily go back to the Garden of Eden, per se. Obviously, when you use snake, so you're thinking Gan Eden, but it's the Tachlis HaKlipa. The body is called Aveya Voisatuma. It's the absolute, it's the grandfather of impurity. Mm-hmm. And what is it when it all comes bound down to everything? It's a mud pie, is what it is. Okay, but that's where our Nefesh HaLakis gets stuck. Our Nefesh HaLakis is like a diamond. And we take this diamond and we bury it in muck. Okay, and it's not even, nice muck. Mm. It smells. Mm. It's the product, as he said, the product of the putrid drop, whatever thing you want to, how you would describe it.
It's a nace salt on its own.
But the diamond still remains the diamond, though. Yeah, and he says, you have the Rachmanis on it. Because this world, this is as far in the creation process, this is as far as it gets. Mm. Hashem said, I think I'm going to stop here. Mm. When Hashem hit rock bottom, as the case may be, quite literally, he said, oh, that's good. That's as far as we're going to go. Any more, then it's too little godliness.
Mm.
How much godliness is there in a rock already? Not a whole lot. Not even enough to cause it to move. So this is where my soul is right now. And Hashem, you want me to do everything that says 613 commandments you want me to do. Throw me into mud and tell me stay clean. Okay, give me some rachmanis, Ubaprat, kishiyaskir al kol maisiv diburu machshavta miyem hayosa al asher loy tovim hema. This kind of hurts a little bit. Because what happens now is you really want to have Rachmanis on him. You really want to show Hashem. You say, listen, Hashem, I got a whole list. Everything I thought wrong and said wrong and did wrong from as far back as I can remember till now. which if you recall back in chapter 29, which you quoted before, is that if a person feels that they're stuck and they can't really get over the hurdle, so he uses the analogy of a block of wood that needs splintering.
Yes.
So in a Hasid, what's a Hasidic splintering? Is a person yells at himself.
Screams at Yetzirah.
What a disgusting meshuka, it's matuyev, like a worm, like a bug, like a creepy crawly thing, smelly, disgusting. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're bringing to the table. Yeah. In order to what? To ignite the flame of his nefesh elokis. You shouldn't walk away from such a session saying, yeah, you know what, I am talking a bug. He stopped in the wrong place. You got to keep going. The point is not to make yourself a bug.
Don't grow legs.
Yeah, or antlers, yes.
Exactly.
The point is that a person says, but I'm going to break right through all of that nonsense. Mm. Because that's all it is. It's nonsense. Mm. The klipa of the world really poses no obstacle to our godly soul and godliness and spirituality. Who puts the obstacle up in front of us to make the world look like it's got all these problems and godliness is so far away from us? It's ourselves. If we were to just take a half a minute and stop and realize that the world, this is what the Hayyamim from a few days ago, that Hashem took a nothing and made it something, and it's a job of the Jews to take this something and make it into a nothing, in order wise to realize, to recognize the spirituality which can be conveyed through it. We talk about it, it says way back when in chapter 4, quoting the Pirkei Avos. The Yafesh Ha'achas v'tshuva v'kvayisim tovim v'olam hazeh v'kol chai olam haba. Better 1 hour of tshuva and good deeds in this world than the whole world to come. Right. However much you could get of it. Because what's the world to come? The world to come, he says, is just a ray of godliness here. This is where Hashem wants. When Hashem made a creation, he said, I want there to be a physical world. And the expression is b'makom sh'ratzenu sham hu kula. Where you want to be, that's where you are in your entirety. Where does Hashem want to be? Hashem wants to be right here in the physical world. And when we stop and we can think, yeah, it's mud. But what I could do with this mud... I can make a world out of this mud. And that's where the Rachmanis comes in. Help me, Hashem, because I'm kind of stuck in the quagmire. The stuff that you want me to turn into nothing, it's kind of overwhelming me. And as soon as a person realizes that, they're the only ones that are causing it to overwhelm them.
Yeah, it's true.
Then there's no more overwhelming. A big part of stress that comes from worrying for sure is, we've been saying it for since chapter one, since the title page, that worrying is a product of the Yetzirah. Worrying accomplishes nothing. If there's a problem, then you got to do. To worry about the problem doesn't help the problem. To worry if there might be a problem is even worse, and there's enough people who do that too.
Right.
Worrying stops the person from doing. If there's something you can do about it, then go do it. If there's nothing you could do about it, worrying is not going to help. Okay? But the worrying, what is it going to do? It's going to keep a person up. I tell people all the time, if you can't sleep at night, you're doing something wrong. Because there is no problem that big that you can't just roll over and go to sleep.
That's a madriga, though.
No, it's not.
I'm not saying you can't do it.
You have to stop and you have to think that Hashem is in charge. I can't do anything about it now. It's time for me to go to sleep. If I worry about this all night, I am not going to be able to function, and the Yetzer Hara will have won. And now it has a person had to, like, you have to stop editorializing, just become objective about the situation. That's what the hard part is because we're very subjective. We love ourselves. Okay, as Rama Lipsker leaves to say, we love our schmutz.
Mm, indeed. So okay. Shabbat is a see past. Would you say turns something nothing is a turn what we think? Well, what the Yetzer puts in front of us, we put
to use it. To use it for Hashem. Yeah. I've often commented that.
Worry is one of those things.
I have no problem turning something into nothing. It's called my checking account. As much as it goes into it, it's still zero. It's amazing. Anyway,
especially
so, yes. Whatever the case may be.
Yes, the family so, comes in and your money goes out.
Baruch Hashem, only good things.
Yeah.
So, so the person is really now, he has to be a master of account. The person has to be aware of who they are, where they are, what they're doing, how they're doing it.
In honesty.
Without becoming neurotic. It's also a very hard thing. The person's going to sit down and he's going to think, well, I've done this wrong and I've done this wrong and I've done this wrong. And therefore what? I deserve to get thrown off a cliff on my head.
I have it too good.
Yeah, you know, so like Yaakov with the Katainti Mikola Chasad Mikola Ames. You know, I'm not worthy of any good that might come to me. And Hashem saying, what are you talking about? You haven't even touched the principal, no less the interest. You know, because we don't understand. Every time we do something good, how great the positive effect is in the world. Because it's so easy to beat ourselves up for every little thing that we did wrong. Okay, but you look at it like this.
Yeah.
And this is the way Hashem looks at it. You have a 2-year-old. Okay, everything that the 2-year-old does is cute. Okay, it takes a couple of steps. Everybody goes, oh, he's taking a couple of steps, yay! The 2-year-old goes, ma, ma, ba, ba, you know, oh, he's talking, The 2-year-old takes something off the table and smashes it on the floor.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You yell at the 2-year-old? You say, ah, the 2-year-old doesn't know. You can't get mad at him. It's your fault for putting it in the reach of that. That's why they have something called baby-proofing the house.
Mm.
Whose fault is it that you didn't baby-proof the house? So you could say, listen, you know, you can be so chutzpahdik to say, listen, Hashem, the reason why I slipped up is because you let me slip up. You have to cut me a break sometimes too, you know. Who told you to put that thing in front of me that I wanted to do that I wasn't supposed to do? But just knowing that, it's all there, it's all in front of you. Mm. And it is all a test. And it's a test that we can't get out of. We can't say, no, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
I quit. No. It doesn't work that way. Because there's a Gemara that talks about all the people who are going to come before Hashem, and Hashem's going to ask them, did you learn Torah? Did you daven? Did you do mitzvahs? And they're going to come up with all kinds of excuses. I was too rich. I was too poor. I was busy with my business. I was busy with my family. And every excuse is going to, there's an example of some person in the Gemara who had exactly the same problem and didn't fail at his test.
Right.
You know, that's an amazing thing. I saw an amazing story this last week. I sent it out on my e-parsha. You on my e-parsha list?
No.
Give me your mail list. I'll put you on my e-parsha list. So, did you get my...
Mm-mm.
None of you guys get my e-parsha?
I used to, but for some reason...
Okay, you get your email addresses. I'll put it all on. Or go to RabbiFinman.com. Go to RabbiFinman.com and click on the e-parsha page and sign up. Anyway, so... and so those people who are listening on RabbiFinman.com already know that they're RabbiFinman.com. All you got to do is click over to the other page after the class, because when you click off one page, the other page shuts down. So wait till after the class is over. Anyway, it's a fault in the system, but I didn't design it. I'm not a webmaster.
You made it nothing.
Anyway, so the there was a story involving, it was told by Reb Shabtai Slavatitsky, who's a shliach in Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
That back in the late 80s, so there's a young man who started coming to him and started getting involved with Yiddishkeit, and he was really coming around. Every once in a while he'd disappear, 3 days, 5 days, a week, and he'd come back and say, hey, where you been? I went to go visit friends. Okay, so one time he comes, they're sitting for like a Yudtes Kislev or something, and Rabbi Slavatitsky had a Fabrangin. And they knocked a good couple back. And this guy was like kind of walking out, and like he's hanging on Rabbi Slavatitsky, and Rabbi Slavatitsky's hanging on him. And the guy started to cry. And he said, Rabbi, it's the alcohol, I know. And he said, no, it's the Verbrengen. He says, what's on your mind? And he said, you know, every once in a while I disappear and I tell you I'm going to visit friends. I'm engaged to a woman who's not Jewish. And when I go, she said, lives in Italy. And I go up, Brussels to Italy. So it's just a quick hop, skip, and a jump. And we're planning on getting married. And I know at this point that I shouldn't do it. But if I give it up, I know I'm giving up my whole totality. It's like everybody's got a last thing when they become from. Mm-hmm. And when they know that, oh, I can't go past. Once I do this, I know I can't go back.
Exactly.
So this was his can't go back. He says, I can't do it. It means a total thing for me. I can't do it. And he said, I've gone to many, many rabbis for advice. And in Antwerp, there's a whole huge Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And he said, I went to these rabbis, not Chabad rabbis. And what do I get from them? He went to rebbelas that are in Antwerp and in Europe. And he said, they're going to tell you, if you marry this woman, you're going to burn in hell. There's not a big enough hell big enough for you. All kinds. This is the rhetoric that he got. And he said, it doesn't do it for me, Rabbi. I'm not impressed by it. I'm not afraid of burning in hell. You know, as I tell people, you tell a Jew you're going to burn in hell, he looks at you and says, yeah, and I'll see you there too, buddy. You know, so It doesn't do it for me. It doesn't want me to make to give it up. I'm so tormented. What should I do, Rabbi? Help me. So he said, you need to go to the Rebbe. And so they made a whole plan, and like within a month, so they traveled to New York, and they were in New York there for went for dollars on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And the guy's standing in line for hours, and he's rehearsing in his mind what he's going to say to the Rebbe when he gets in front of him. He knows he doesn't have very much time. It's like, you know, like you have like Twitter now. Forget it. Twitter is like 70 characters too long.
40, yeah.
Yeah, it's 70 characters too long. You have 70 characters. You have 3 seconds to get out of your mouth what you want out of your mouth, because there's somebody pulling you and schlepping you away. And it's, listen, you know, how many thousands of people, the Rebbe on a good day would give out $5,000 on a Sunday. Okay, so it wasn't fair to the Rebbe's time. So he's rehearsing over and over and over what he wants to say. When he got to the Rebbe gave him a look, and I've seen the Rebbe give such looks, that he felt like his whole entire insides were being examined. Mm-hmm. And he just froze. Mm-hmm. The Rebbe handed him a dollar, and he took the dollar, but the Rebbe didn't let go. And the Rebbe's looking at him. And finally, it felt like 5 minutes he's standing there. Probably it was like a second and a half that he's. I took people to for dollars. I used to take groups of people for dollars, and afterwards we would go out to eat. And I asked somebody, I said, "So, how long do you think you were talking to the Rebbe?" One person said, "Oh, like 5-6 minutes I was talking to him. Not even 25 seconds." Okay, not even 25 seconds was this guy talking to him. He felt like he was talking for 5 minutes to the Rebbe. Okay, so he said it felt like minutes going by. It was probably like a second and a half. You know, yeah. This whole interchange. So finally, he said, the Rebbe's holding onto the dollar. Finally, he said to the Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, I have a problem. And the Rebbe kind of like gave a look. Okay, go ahead, no talk. He said, I'm becoming frum, and I'm engaged to a non-Jewish woman. The Rebbe said to him, I'm envious of you. So the guy was floored. He expected fire and brimstone. So he just said, you're envious of me? The Rebbe said, when a person is faced with a test, the test is coming from Hashem. And Hashem is not going to give a person a test that they can't pass. That means that if a person is given the test, they have the strength and ability to pass that test. The Rebbe continued, I never had such a test. I was never tested that way. That means that Hashem never gave me the kayach to withstand such a test. You, Hashem, gave the koyach to withstand such a test. I'm envious of you. You hear such a thing? You know? The guy lives in Yerushalayim now. He's a Chabadnik with a big family.
Of course he is.
You know, and they live happily ever after, of course. Yeah. You know, but the whole turnaround and outlook of what is this guy so totally befuddled and confused? And it all just is yeah, we're swimming in garbage. And if it wouldn't be on tape, I would say something else besides garbage. But that's what we're swimming in. Yep. But Hashem taught us how to swim. And not only that, we have a life preserver on. And if we reach up a little bit higher, there's a lifeboat sitting right there for us. All you got to do is stretch a little bit. But what? Listen, we're up to our nose in the garbage. So what do we have to do? Listen, Hashem, I'm really trying. I'm getting tired of treading water over here. That was Bill Cosby's line to Noah. Noah, how long can you tread water for? You know the skit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
So we're treading water. He said, listen, Hashem, where's the life preserver? No. So Hashem says, listen, all you got to do is just open your eyes.
Yeah.
Fair, you horse. You look, you'll see that just beyond your grasp is the life preserver. All you got to do is stretch out and get it.
Okay.
And that's the way it is with every single one of us. Nobody alive has a perfect life. Not since Adam ate that fruit does anybody have it perfect. We all need that life preserver, and we all need to stretch out and get it. And how far away is it? I'm telling you, it's just past your fingertips. All you got to do is just lean a little bit forward, and you can grab the life preserver. By way of analogy. Yes. That he continues with this paradigm that what has he done by causing with all of his thought, speech, and action? He has now fettered the king in these iron chains around his head. But he says, Yaakov Chevel Nachalosei. Yaakov is literally the portion of his inheritance. But the word chevel means rope. And that's what he says over here. Kamoshel hameshek bechevel. Like a person pulls on a rope. V'hu say galos hashchina. That we're attached to Hashem with a rope of 613 strands. And what happens is when we pull the rope down, by us going down, so we schlep Hashem down with us. That's called Seid galos hashchina. We're causing the divine presence to get schlepped into the mud with us. But if we'll allow it, and the analogy doesn't work because you can't push on a rope, but if we'll allow it to get schlepped up a little bit, we'll put forth an effort, and Hashem will pull on the rope, so then we'll get schlepped up. What is the rope made out of? The rope has 613 strands. I should give you an indication as to what the rope is made out of. 613 mitzvahs. And every time, and as a use of analogy, it's like a fiber optic rope. Okay, there's energy going through that rope. It's not just some piece of twine or some piece of hemp. There's energy going through it. There's light, there's life going through that rope. And every time we do a mitzvah, we're opening up the channels, keeping the channels clear, broadening the channels for the godliness to come down, to get schlepped up.
The only way you're going to get schlepped up is you got to request the other.
You have to start pushing on it. Say, get me out of here. Yes.
You got to ask the person at the other end to pull on the rope.
That's correct.
Okay. You can't push on a rope.
But what's the problem? As we said before, people happen to like the garbage that they're in.
Yeah.
You don't smell yourself.
Used to it.
Yeah. To you, you smell good. Valzen Nem, or Avram Olivskraft, he uses the example of a 2-year-old in a pooped-up diaper. Kid likes it. Soft, it's squishy. To him, it doesn't smell. It's warm. It's cozy. He doesn't want to give it up. Okay? Everybody else is shrying Melechai V'Kayim from the stench. But to him, it's cozy. It's warm. It's squishy. You know. That's what our own garbage is, yes. And that's what it says. Return to Hashem, and Hashem will have mercy on him. Le'rachamim rabim al shem Hashem hashoichin itanu. That this is a switch over here. Don't have rachmanis on me. I'm having rachmanis on Hashem. What's the reason why we're in Gullus? Is because we schlepped the divine presence in Gullus. So I'm going to have rachmanis on the divine presence. What's causing divine presence to stay in here is all the different things that I did, said, and thought wrong. So if I correct them, I'll push the divine presence out, and I'll get schlepped out. I'll have rachmanis on Hashem. It's a switch, I know, but the whole chapter is a switch. It says, who dwells among you within your impurity. Hashem's right here. This is now we can understand the esoteric explanation of the verse when it says that Yaakov kissed Rachel.
Bless you.
And he lifted up his voice and he wept. Ki Yaakov he kinesis Israel. Makar kol neshamas. Yaakov there is representative, is analogous of the source of the Jewish souls, which is called kinesis Israel.
Rachel does.
Rachel, excuse me. Rachel is the Jewish people. And Yaakov mi dosehal yainishu humidas arachem shebetzilus. What's Yaakov? Yaakov is Hashem's attribute of Atzilus, of mercy. Hmm. And Hashem is arousing mercy upon Rachel, upon the Jewish people. And then it says, Vayisa es kol, he picked up his voice. Where's Hashem picking up his voice? Where's up? Lamaila lamakar harachim el yonim anikra avarachimim. Makarim. That it's to the very source of Rachmanis, which is well even before the world of the realm of Atzilus. As we said, and you talked about it in mentioning in chapter 32, yeah. Rachmanis is called Bria Chatikon, the middle bolt, the middle rod. In the Mishkan, there were three cross braces.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The top and the bottom one were Avram and Yitzchak. The middle one, which went through the boards and curved around from in a katza ala katza, was Yaakov. Because Midas HaRachmanis, the Midas of Emes, means it doesn't stop. And therefore, Rachmanis just didn't start in the world of Atzilus. Rachmanis goes all the way up to the very source of the infiniteness of Hashem. That to arouse and to draw down from there this great abundant mercy on the soul and the source of the souls, which is called Knesset Yisrael, the congregation of Israel, lahaloisin megalosin, to elevate them from their exile, and to unite them with an ultimate unity with the light of the Infinite One, blessed be He, bechinas neshikin, in a way of kissing, shehi is drakus rucha beruchoi. That kissing means you got to get really close to somebody to kiss them. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Unless you got really long lips. But even then, you're still pretty close.
You're still pretty close.
So this is a relationship we call now. Kissing is done with the top part of your body.
Yes.
So this is now the higher unity, which is called kissing. The kiss of God, as it may be referred to, is yes. Tapping into this supreme level of Rachmanis. Mm. Why? Because Hashem wants to. That's the whole thing about it that the Alter Rebbe has been saying all along. When he first, on the title page, Kikarav Alecha Hadavar Me'oi V'fichol V'avchol Aseisei, this is not out there. This is in here. Why? How could it be in here? Is because Hashem wants it to be. There's an expression, more than the calf wants to nurse, does the cow want to nurse?
The calf to nurse. That's right.
Okay, the cow wants to get rid of this milk over here. The cow's not happy with all this milk. Mm-mm. But it's the same relationship that we have with Hashem. More than we want to have a relationship with Hashem, does Hashem want to have a relationship with us? But just like it takes the calf to go up and nurse, we have to do it too. Mm. Okay? Kamoshukasav Yishakeinu bin Hashichos Pihot of Pasuk and Shir Hashirim, he kissed me with the kisses of his mouth. Dahainu his kashers dibur ha'adam edvar ha'vayuzu halacha. Then the easiest way to do that is, which you're talking mouth, so we're talking learning Torah. And if you want to talk about what does Hashem want, how are you going to know what Hashem wants? He suggests halacha. And it's an amazing thing. If you want to experience the ultimate in godliness. So he's not telling you here to open up a Kabbalah book and start flying around in the Olam El Salyonim and the upper worlds and the upper spheres. He's saying if you really want to get what Hashem is, open up a Shulchan Aruch. The code of Jewish law. The mind is, God is in the details. The right shoe tied first before the left shoe. Okay, actually the left shoe before the right shoe. I think that mistake last time I brought up that example. The left shoe tied before the right shoe. Okay, it's the detail. Does Hashem want you to do? Absolutely, Hashem is in the details. And if you want to know what Hashem wants and you want to connect to what the essence of Hashem is, Pashut Shulchan Aruch, Halacha.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to go to town on Halacha, you could really start thinking, why does this need to be a Halacha? We should probably never get there. But you could sit and you could think, this is how I'm getting close to Hashem. Why does Hashem want me to use this as a vehicle of getting closer to Hashem? That tying my left shoe before my right shoe is getting me closer to Hashem.
Is there a sefer to help us with that?
Why? You have to do that one you have to do yourself.
Is that the whole trail through the Gemara?
You can just do it from a Shulchan Aruch. Take a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English.
I did that.
That particular mitzvah with the shoes, that one is...
There's footnotes, that's true.
Well, here's the thing. Every human being in the world who can afford shoes puts on shoes, right?
Right.
Why do they put on shoes?
To get them on their feet?
Because they get them on their feet. But they do it every day, right?
Right.
Hashem is so interested in being involved with your life, he says, you're going to put on shoes today just like everybody other human being. But if you'll do it just in this order, I connect with you.
Correct.
If that doesn't show it down to the minutia, how much Hashem wants to be involved in your life, you're going to put your shoes on anyway.
Yes.
But right. Just do it this way. And you and I exactly. Just connected.
I think about the story because my son bar mitzvah last week. So for a good while beforehand, I've been... having with me when I'm watching him put on his tefillin, making sure he's doing it right according to my tradition.
Yeah.
And it was just Sephardic Hasidic, and then why? Because I know if he doesn't put it on right, it won't pass it down. It won't go. It won't be. You care
right.
About stuff like that. So it's like you start to feel connected. Hashem cares infinitely more than we can imagine.
Right, indeed, it's a good example.
But it was such that I had to change my whole schedule in the morning to make sure he was doing it because I had to work with, when is he doing it?
So. Became Machshava, Maisa, B'Maisa, Shehu Maisa, HaMitzvah. So to our thoughts and thinking about Hashem and thinking about why and then doing the deeds, which that's what Hashem wants us to do, Uvaprat Maisa Hatzdaka V'Chesed, and specifically the action of Tzedakah. He talks about Tzedakah at great length in Ageras HaTshuvah. And how it is such a total mitzvah, we should save it for then, when we're going to be talking about it there. But we accomplish, as far as mitzvahs go, Rebbe used to say that in the whole entire Talmud Yerushalmi, whenever it would just say the word mitzvah, generic, it meant giving tzedakah. Because it is the generic mitzvah. It accomplishes, the act of tzedakah accomplishes by itself what all the other mitzvahs try to accomplish. And all you got to do is throw a quarter in a pushka. Okay. The chesed de yamina, the kindness is the right arm, which is the way of hugging. It says, with his right hand he hugs me. And that's through giving tzedakah. That the learning of Torah with speech and with concentrated thought, that's mamish puckering right up to Hashem, because this is the word of Hashem and you're speaking the words of Hashem and Hashem's words are in your mouth. Now, when a person thinks this, and he's utilized the Rachmanis to get to that point, so now he should feel, you know, God, you're really okay. I like you. That's my own translation, by the way. You know, the expression goes, you'll do. Yes. I like you, God. As the expressions we quoted before, that Jacob who redeemed Abraham. Because now what we're using is the Rachmanis as a tool to get to the love of Hashem. Any questions? We're now chapter 46 for next week. To be continued.